Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy...
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, April 25th, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild ride it is. We're going to get into some specifics today on just how wild and... So in hour one... we have as our guest this morning here in a little bit, Kate Anderson, a Blackstone Fellow at the Alliance Defending Freedom. She'll be on to discuss the case Brush and Nib Studio versus City of Phoenix. And we'll talk about the co-owners of the studio, Joanna Duca and Brianna Koski, and more, I imagine. So before we get going, let's kind of set the stage, as it were, and introduce you to the subject matter, I suppose. First up, ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Who and what is Alliance Defending Freedom? Is it a legal organization defending free speech? Is it a ministry, considered a sort of a ministry outreach effort? Well, it's kind of D, all of the above. So who better to weigh in on that than the man who has served as ADF founder, Alan Sears. And so here's a clip titled Alan Sears, Alliance Defending Freedom Founder. If you're ready with that, go ahead, please.
I think about my earliest childhood. I think about the things that my father and mother taught me about how we're called to leave a better life for those that come after us. That we should leave a stronger nation, a more secure nation, with the ability for those who come after us to have the same freedoms and blessings that we have. What the founders of the United States understood is that religious liberty is for everyone. And without religious liberty, all other liberties will be in jeopardy. God has called this ministry to stand for religious liberty, to stand for the sanctity of life, and for the family. And we know that the struggle we're in is not just for today, but for those who come after us. Everything we do ultimately will impact what tomorrow looks like in America and increasingly across the globe. There's nothing more important than the ability of a person to live out their faith, to have the ability to carry forth what God has called them to do in their life. Without the freedom to form one's conscience, to act upon one's conscience, we don't have any other liberty. The Constitution protects as the first liberty religious freedom for all people. Throughout history, there have been those that want to suppress the right of people of faith to live and carry out that faith. It's so hard for many people to remember what it was like in the late 1980s, the early 1990s, when essentially there was only a tiny handful of Christian attorneys engaged in standing against organizations like the American Civil Liberties Union, Planned Parenthood, and the countless initial allied groups that wanted to reshape this nation, that wanted to abolish the sanctity of human life, suppress religious liberty, and redefine marriage and the family. A group of ministry leaders began to talk among themselves about the crisis that was occurring in the courts of the United States. And as they came together, looked at the issues, they said, you know, enough's enough. We've got to do something unique and new about this problem. And their idea was, let's not just create another new legal organization. Let's go beyond just a law firm and just a response. Let's look at a concept of strategy, training, funding, and legal advocacy. After I got a call from the founders of the ministry, I asked them one question. I said, are we here to win? Is the purpose of this organization to make a difference for the long term? And the answer that all of them gave me was, yes. You never know what God's preparing you to do. And one of the things he did in my life was lead me through different background, different experiences. I was involved in politics, went to law school. I worked both for a small, medium-sized law firm and for one of the largest firms in the United States. I was invited to teach at Scotland Yard. I testified before the United States Congress and the United States Senate. And when President Reagan took office, I was delighted to accept positions first as chief of the criminal section and then to serve as director of the Attorney General's Commission on Pornography.
Alan did an outstanding job of organizing the commission, providing the leadership, and providing the assistance and the supervision that made it very successful. When I learned that Alan had been selected to head Alliance Defending Freedom, I was overjoyed because I knew of his fine qualities and the great work he had done for the Department of Justice.
ADF has been the leader in this country in protecting religious liberty and protecting a proper interpretation of the Constitution.
Both as a Christian and a student of history, it is clear to me that those who act alone seldom succeed. We are called to work in cooperation with others. We know clearly from history that allies, alliances win, and those who act independently lose. Alliance Defending Freedom begins with the word alliance, and that is the heartbeat of the ministry. God has blessed us with an amazing team of individuals, men and women who love Christ, who love our clients, who love the ability to defend those who cannot defend themselves. We need to thank God for all he has done. This ministry has had an incredible track record. He has allowed us to win hundreds of cases on behalf of thousands of members of the body of Christ in all different geographic areas, on all different kinds of fronts. There are two things we've learned for certain over the years. When we fail to show up and fight, when we fail to engage, we lose by default. But alternatively, if we stand, we engage, we fight, we can win. God has blessed us to raise up more than 3,000 allied attorneys to train and equip, to help them get in the field. And looking ahead, Alliance Defending Freedom is training future generations of lawyers and leaders through our Blackstone Legal Fellowship and our Arete Academy. The theme verse of Alliance Defending Freedom is John 15:5, where our Lord told us that without him, we can do nothing. But in Scripture, it also teaches us that with Christ, we will be equipped and enabled to accomplish all that we're called to do. One of the people in history who really teaches us how to move forward in dark circumstances is Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln goes to Congress in December of 1861, and he writes an amazing address. He talked about the difficult circumstances, the war, the division, but then he ended it with an incredible note of hope. He said, the struggle we're in is not just a struggle for today. It is for a vast future also. And then he reminded us that this vast future was in the hands of a sovereign God. So when we think about Lincoln in that dark hour, thanking God and looking to God for a good and vast future, that's what we're called to do at Alliance Defending Freedom, to stand for religious liberty, to stand for the sanctity of life, to stand for the family. As long as God gives us breath and ability to go forward, Alliance Defending Freedom is going to saddle up, and we're going to stand, and we're going to fight.
So there you have it in the words of Alan Sears, obviously. What is Alliance Defending Freedom? Again, Alan Sears, Alliance Defending Freedom founder. So next up, the case that is in view this morning, Brush and Nib Studio versus City of Phoenix. And so here is the latest on that. If you're ready with that, go ahead, please. We're ready with... Oh, okay. All right.
We create a wide variety of custom artwork, like wedding invitations, vows, party announcements, and birth announcements.
I'm a painter.
I'm a calligrapher.
Two very different artistic skills brought together by faith.
We met at a Bible study and later realized we could combine our talents and open an art studio to create art that we feel really reflects God's beauty.
I create with a brush.
I create with a nib.
And they are Brush and Nib Studio. Joanna Duca and Brianna Koski create hand-painted and hand-lettered designs for life's most beautiful and memorable moments. Whether it's for a new baby, sweet 16, an anniversary, or a wedding, their passion is deeply rooted.
I believe God's design uses all the little details in our lives to create a masterpiece.
I love having the opportunity to help our clients celebrate their most important moments in life.
Joanna and Brianna say that God has placed so much beauty around them, and that's what they want to share with others through their art. Creating beauty for weddings is one of their passions.
There are so many details that express love, personality, hope, and commitment in a wedding, and those are some of the messages we express in our artwork.
Joanna and Brianna want to honor God in every piece of art they create, but that may not be possible. In fact, Phoenix interprets its public accommodations law to require Joanna and Brianna to create artwork celebrating ideas about marriage that violate their Christian beliefs. Phoenix also argues that its law prohibits Joanna and Brianna from publicly expressing that they can only create art that is consistent with their beliefs about marriage.
We enjoy the beauty, all the details and design, the excitement, the anticipation of a wedding.
For each day Phoenix believes Joanna and Brianna are in violation of the city's ordinance, Joanna and Brianna face the possibility of a $2,500 fine and 6 months in jail. Phoenix asserts that it can punish Joanna and Brianna even though they'll happily create artwork for all people. They simply can't create all messages.
The government shouldn't be telling artists what they can and can't say.
Alliance Defending Freedom has filed suit on behalf of Joanna and Brianna to defend their rights under Arizona's Constitution and Free Exercise of Religion Act to create and speak about their art in a manner that is consistent with their beliefs.
In this situation, the city of Phoenix is ordering two young artists to imagine from scratch, to handcraft, and then to convey messages that violate their core convictions. A government that can compel its citizens to say and do that can compel its citizens to say and do almost anything.
We're challenging this law, not just for us, but for all artists to be able to create freely.
Artists should be free to create art that is consistent with their beliefs without fear of punishment by the government.
So there's that, and so what is the... We'll give a fair, I suppose, you know, a fair treatment to the subject matter. What is the opposition saying about ADF? Briefly, I don't want to get too far into this, but you know, it's interesting. The Soros, deeply connected Media Matters for America network. What are they saying? Here's a video from Media Matters for America back in May of 2016, titled "The Terrifying True Story of the Right-Wing Group Pushing Anti-LGBT Bills." So whenever you're ready with that, go ahead, please.
What do North Carolina's bathroom law, Indiana's religious freedom law, and the Hobby Lobby case have in common? They're all linked to the same terrifying Christian legal organization. They're called the Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF, and they are terrible. You probably never heard of ADF, but you've definitely seen them on TV. They're the group that defends all of those business owners who refuse to serve gay customers. ADF is one of the most powerful legal organizations in the country, and they've been working to roll back LGBT and abortion rights for years. They testify against Planned Parenthood. They were involved in the Hobby Lobby case.
You should not have to help destroy human life.
And they argue that there's no constitutional right to abortion at all. Look closely at any of the anti-LGBT or anti-abortion laws you've heard of over the past few years, and you'll probably find ADF standing somewhere in the shadows. Arizona's Don't Serve the Gays law, ADF. Indiana's Religious Freedom law, ADF. North Carolina's Creepy Bathroom law, you guessed it, ADF.
In another called the Alliance Defending Freedom, they didn't just push for the bill, they also helped write the bill.
ADF often ghostwrites these laws and hands them over to state lawmakers, testifies on their behalf, and then defends them in state and national media.
She's an attorney for the Alliance Defending Freedom.
ADF's whole media shtick is that they're just protecting Christians who want to live out their faith freely.
This bill has nothing to do with discrimination. It is basically, it's protecting basic freedoms.
Pretty harmless, right? But off camera, they're basically monsters. ADF opposes hate crime laws, they oppose anti-bullying efforts. They think that gay kids are trapped in homosexual behavior and need to be freed of their lives of sin. One ADF document warned that anti-bullying policies would promote homosexual behavior to impressionable children. Yeah, it's that kind of group. Seriously, this is what ADF sounds like when it thinks nobody's listening.
The end game of the homosexual legal agenda is unfettered sexual liberty and the silencing of all dissent.
The group's current president co-wrote a book comparing the gay rights movement to Nazi Germany and claiming that pedophilia and homosexuality are intrinsically linked. But here's where it gets really scary. In 2003, ADF submitted a brief to the Supreme Court asking them to uphold state laws that made it illegal to have gay sex. They spent nearly 30 pages describing gay sex as unhealthy, harmful, and a public health risk. They lost that case, thankfully, but that hasn't stopped them from exporting that work internationally. The group has been caught in Belize and Jamaica defending extreme anti-sodomy laws, laws that would put gay people in jail for having sex.
Even defending a law in Belize that makes homosexual acts punishable by 10 years in prison.
ADF attorneys have gone to other countries and told rooms full of lawmakers that gay sex is spiritually and psychologically harmful. On television, ADF wants people to think that they're just a typical Christian legal organization.
We defend marriage, religious freedom, and sanctity of life, and we want to ensure that every person is able to speak and live their life in accordance with their sincerely held beliefs.
But they're not. They're extremists who have spent years trying to put gay people behind bars and deny women access to basic reproductive health care. That's who ADF is. And that's how news networks should identify them if they're going to give the group airtime.
And so there you go. They're basically monsters. I think that's, you know, I mean, that's very hyperbolic, to say the least. Anyway, this is a bit off topic, but, you know, and we could go through those talking points one by one. And on this broadcast, we have sort of addressed many of those. The, you know, as we've gone through the series in the last few weeks on what I would generally call the death cult ideology and the struggle that is kind of condensed in John 10:10, the thief came only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came, Jesus said, that they may have life and have it abundantly. You have a variety of forces that conspire against the citizen, the undesirables in eliminationism fashion, to borrow Daniel Goldhagen's term. Anyway, one of those is the homosexual agenda, war against the weak. Edwin Black talks about that. Nazi Germany obviously comes into play there. And the Jaffe memo is of particular relevance. So anyway, on that note, we'll go a bit off topic when we come back, but then we'll get right back on topic. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo.
So back to where we were. A bit off topic. That last little bit, that soundbite from Media Matters, you know, about denying women the right to reproductive health care. On that subject, and again, that gets back to the issue of, you know, eliminationism broadly, getting rid of the undesirables, population control, you know, Malthusian eugenics and all that kind of stuff. And again, Edwin Black's War Against the Weak is instrumental. I think one of the most comprehensive treatises that you'll find on the subject. But ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom, has a great playlist titled on their YouTube channel titled Top Planned Parenthood Deceptions with 11 videos. And so from that ADF YouTube playlist, top Planned Parenthood Deceptions, the video titled Deception Number One, Essential Care. Here is this clip. Go ahead, please.
The deception. Planned Parenthood provides essential care women can't get anywhere else. The truth? There are more than 13,000 low-cost clinics that women can choose instead of Planned Parenthood. Most of these clinics, which outnumber Planned Parenthood by 20-1, offer far more women's health services than Planned Parenthood. Nationwide, these clinics are, on average, less than 5 miles away from Planned Parenthood locations. So ladies, there are better choices. Right in your neighborhood. To find out where to go to get your care, go to getyourcare.org.
Now again, that's just video number one, and so there are 10 more, obviously, in the 11 video playlist. And just quickly, the titles of the videos, and I've watched them all, but number two, I'll just, they're all, they begin with the title Deception 2, 3, etc. So forgoing those, beginning on number two, loses funding, you know, Deception number two loses funding, you know. So these are top Planned Parenthood deceptions, that these are the sound bites that are rolled out in Bernaysian fashion to socially engineer talking points and, you know, change people's thinking, obviously. Number three, defunding Planned Parenthood would actually increase abortion. Number four, Planned Parenthood wants to reduce abortion. And again, this is all eugenics, population control, Malthusian nonsense. Number five, Planned Parenthood cares for poor women in rural and underserved areas. Number six, abortion services only 3%, part one. Number seven, abortion services only 3%, part two. Number eight, Planned Parenthood is the good-hearted nonprofit. Nine, Planned Parenthood is relentless in screening for breast and cervical cancer. 10, Planned Parenthood is needed to reduce sexually transmitted infections. And 11, redirect funds from Planned Parenthood. So those are some of the videos. And again, that's off topic, I realize, but it's all sort of related. And so back to this issue of freedom of speech and sort of the nexus of freedom of speech and freedom of religion. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, April 25th, 2018. And we're talking about the case. Now we're going to dive into it a little bit and talk about the case Brush and Nib Studio versus City of Phoenix. And it was my understanding that we would have Kate Anderson on, but I guess Jonathan Scruggs, who serves as senior counsel and director of the Center for Conscience Initiatives with Alliance Defending Freedom, is stepping in because apparently Kate is in a meeting. So we're just going to dive right in. Do we have Jonathan?
Yes. Thanks so much for
having Jonathan. Me. Hi, Jonathan. Yeah, thanks for coming on the broadcast. Appreciate it. So,
thank you.
You bet. We played the clip earlier, the Brush and Nib PR clip, and we have you, you know, obviously your statement, no American should be threatened with jail time or disagreeing with the government. It's unjust, unlawful, and unnecessary to force a painter, calligrapher, or a cake artist to create artistic expression against their will and intimidate them into silence. And you guys, there's obviously the Jack Phillips case, a Masterpiece Cake Shop. The big one that I think most people recall where this issue really started to gain broad mainstream viewership was the Oregon case, Aaron and Melissa Klein at Sweet Cakes back in 2013. And ever since then, it seems like this has been a fairly significant issue in public view. And in the case of Brush and Nib Studio and owners Joanna Duca and Brianna Kosky, it's a preemptive case, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct. They learned about the law, learned about it, some of its severe penalties, which can include jail time. And so rather than wait around and violate the law, they challenged it beforehand and went to court and basically said, hey, court, you know, what are our rights? Give us some help here. We just don't know. We don't want to violate the law, but we think we have, you know, these free speech rights to do what we want to do.
Right. And even though it's sort of a preemptive case, the issue is real. It's an ordinance, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes. So Phoenix has this ordinance. It's called a public accommodation law. And like I said, it has some really severe penalties of $2,500 in fines and up to 6 months in jail per day that you violate the law. So that could really add up.
Yeah, and it's my understanding that even though the case would be considered preemptive in nature, the issues are very real, and it has already curbed their ability to, you know, speak freely to, for example, address this issue in some way or another publicly, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah, yeah. So the law does two things. One, it requires them to create art contrary to their religious beliefs. So if they make wedding vows, or they do handwritten wedding vows, for example, if they do that about an opposite sex couple, they have to write those wedding vows honoring the marriage of a same-sex couple, which they can't do. But another aspect of the law basically says they can't say anything publicly that states or implies that someone is unwelcome or unacceptable or objectionable. And the problem with that language is it's very broad and vague.
Right.
You know, you can imagine, almost anything you say could make someone feel that they're unwelcome or objectionable.
Right.
So they really can't state their religious beliefs about marriage in public because that could also potentially violate the law.
And, you know, this is no small issue. I mean, I watched the coverage that you guys put out of their artwork. They're incredibly talented young ladies, talented and gifted, I would say. And it is true. I mean, when you watch what they're doing and you see their portfolio of work, they really do take their work very personally. And, you know, it's very personal. It's not just some, you know, mass produced kind of product. It's obvious that it's very personal to them and that they're not being sensational in any way when they say it's, you know, our work is very personal. I forget exactly how they said it, but they basically connect very deeply with these important moments and events in people's lives. And so it's not just a casual sort of a thing. It's not that would necessarily make a difference, but it is something that they involve themselves in very deeply. So it's definitely a provocative issue. So Monday was the hearing, right?
That's correct. We had the oral argument on Monday. It lasted about an hour.
Okay. So is there anything you can tell us about what happened on Monday yet?
Sure, yeah. It was, we think it went very well. I mean, the judges had good questions and, of both sides. It, obviously, it's hard to kind of forecast a result from the questions that are asked. But the judges seemed obviously interested in the topic, which is an interesting topic because it's so important. So we're hopeful, given that, you know, we have a lot of faith in our arguments, that it's just common sense, right, that we shouldn't be forcing artists to create artwork from scratch that violates their core convictions. And this really isn't even about marriage, right? You can be in favor of same-sex marriage, but against the government telling you what you can and can't say.
Absolutely.
So it's really about just that freedom of the artist to choose what goes in their art, what can't go in their art. You know, these clients, there's a host of topics that they can't express. You know, they wouldn't make a sign endorsing racism or criticizing their own faith or something along those lines. They don't care about who walks in the door. They just have a blanket rule that says we can't create certain messages. And that's something that should be protected by the First Amendment. You know, we wouldn't force, for example, a gay web designer to write to make a website for a church criticizing same-sex marriage, because that might violate that person's beliefs.
Yeah,
with
in the video
this,
clip,
these artists are asking. All these artists are asking really is just for the exact same freedom.
Right, and so like you said in the video clip, a government that can compel these folks to say this or silence whatever can compel someone to say just about anything. And so you start to take yourself down that road, and it's a short trip to some very dark places in history. And folks that don't believe it can happen here should read the book, It Can't Happen Here, that was written almost 100 years ago now, because history tells us otherwise, and the Founding Fathers actually cautioned us. So it's interesting, short trip from, you know, the Declaration of Independence. Jefferson, you know, writes, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So including but not limited to, and then in the First Amendment to the Constitution, we have Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech, et cetera, et cetera. And we used to operate, you know, coming forward not too long ago, we used to operate on the basis of we reserve the right to refuse service to whomever, basically. So what happened along the way? Can you maybe help us understand what happened?
Yeah, so, you know, basically these laws, which are called public accommodation laws, they were very narrow at the beginning. They date back to the 1870s, and they originally applied to hotels, right, that hotels can't turn someone away because of someone's race. And that makes good sense. I mean, you know, hotels, if a hotel turns someone away, and that person can't, you know, stay anywhere, they might be harmed or injured. But over time, these laws expanded their scope and started to apply to essentially every type of business. And these laws really are not, shouldn't really be applying to artistic type of businesses that create artwork. You know, so basically, because these laws, the definition has expanded over time, they've added more protected classes. And I'll give you an example of that. The city of Madison, Wisconsin, their law has 21 protected classes. There's stuff like personal, you can't discriminate based off personal appearance or student status, or even, which is, I think, very scary, some of these laws now are saying you can't discriminate based off political beliefs. So what that all means is that, in a sense, you could force a freelance writer to who's a Democrat to write a campaign speech for a Republican. You can't turn a, that person couldn't decline the Republican because that would be political belief discrimination. So these laws have really expanded a lot over time, and the more these laws expand, the more likelihood they're going to infringe on First Amendment rights, on freedom of speech, especially when they're applied to a business like this art studio, because all this art studio does is create speech. That's their business.
Right.
You know, so if, for example, should we be forcing a newspaper to print ads that violate their beliefs, or a web design company, or a PR company. So it really is a dangerous thing of what you see with these laws, and how, of course, people are trying to apply them, particularly with the one topic of marriage, because that topic is controversial.
And what's obviously very provocative, I guess, in most of these cases is that you see, it seems an overwhelming, and like you said, I mean, I've seen mainstream coverage of folks who advocate what they call same-sex marriage, which I think is, I would call an oxymoron, but that's my belief from the book of Genesis. But, you know, folks who advocate it, but say, still, even though I advocate it, I don't think that the government should be involved in censoring speech on this issue. And so, I mean, you have seen that. But what's interesting is it seems like the overwhelming coverage on these issues in terms of the what goes out in public view is basically if you have what are referred to as conservative views, you know, like those, for example, of Joanna Duca and Brianna Kosky at Brush and Nib Studio, then you're criticized. But if you hold a view that is more, you know, you're a nihilistic, atheistic, cultural Marxist, then your free speech should be protected. That's kind of what it seems like to me. Am I just imagining that?
No, I mean, I think that's very fair. I mean, I remember reading an article in the New York Times a year or so ago that talked about how restaurants in Maine were turning away people who supported Donald Trump, for example, you know, that they wouldn't serve them. And it's an important element to note that these clients, it's the ironic thing, is people try to brand them as discriminators, but there's actually no discrimination going on because the Russian Nib Studio clients, they serve people in the LGBT community. They're happy to make artwork for them, right?
Yeah.
If a gay couple comes in and asks for, hey, I want this print for my house, they would do it in an instant.
Yeah.
But what they can't do is they can't express certain messages for anyone.
Right.
You know, so they won't celebrate same-sex marriage no matter who asks, whether it's a member of the LGBT community or not.
Yeah.
So that's not discrimination. That's just saying, I don't want to express certain messages.
Yeah, and, you know, again, I mean, it wasn't that long ago in this country we operated on the basis that we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone, and that is our right as business owners. And now, you know, this society seems to be becoming more and more unhinged with situations like this, and it's very troubling. But
yeah, for sure. And like I said, the people in power are kind of picking and choosing which messages or which viewpoints they enforce these laws are, you know, as I noted before. It's not that they're, you know, mandating this thing equally, but they're really picking and choosing which messages that businesses have to create. And you can imagine that's a huge burden on someone who's entering this industry. You know, let's say you're trying to enter into this wedding industry and you believe in marriage between a man and a woman. I mean, what are you to do?
Right.
Because, you know, you're essentially forbidden from operating because you can't operate consistent with your beliefs. And what that does is it drives those people with those particular views outside, you know, essentially eliminates them from making a living, from earning a living and doing what they love to do. And that's just really a shame.
It really is. You know, the ability, the kind of the free enterprise concept, you know, under the auspices of whatever is, as the founders put it, you know, virtue, morality, and religion are sort of the umbrella that you should engage in free enterprise. But, you know, to just go out and find a need and fill it. And again, you know, they're very talented young ladies and obviously very passionate about their work, take it very personally. And so, like you said, you know, to think that you have to violate your core beliefs or face the threat of criminal punishment doesn't sound very American to me. I mean, I was born in 1970. I'm not that old, but it wasn't that long ago. We've had some drastic changes just in the last few decades. And, you know, we talk about that on this broadcast and this network. That was not by accident. Like you said, you know, there are folks in power who pick and choose certain things, and those are very influential. But I have a couple of other questions that are maybe a little broader. They may sound rhetorical, but if you can hang around for a few minutes, Jonathan, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Love to.
Okay. All right. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back with my guest, Jonathan Scruggs from the Alliance Defending Freedom.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. I am joined, final segment of the first hour already, joined once again by Jonathan Scruggs, who serves as senior counsel and director of the Center for Conscience Initiatives with Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF. And again, thanks for coming on, Jonathan, to discuss the Brush and Nib Studio versus City of Phoenix case and more, obviously.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
So some broader questions, you know, these might sound rhetorical, I think, to some folks, but, you know, you know, I guess my first question would be, how would you explain the broader significance and the importance of this case? And you guys have a number of these kinds of cases that you've covered. Knapp versus City of Coeur d'Alene. I'm up in the Pacific Northwest, and I remember seeing that one. I actually know those folks over at the Hitching Post in Coeur d'Alene. And so you have a number of these sorts of cases in recent years that you've been bringing. So how would you explain the broader significance and importance of the Brush and Nib Studio versus City of Phoenix case and the related cases, especially maybe to those who would consider themselves unconcerned and maybe even those who might disagree with folks like Joanna Duca and Brianna Kosky?
Sure. Well, I think, as I was noting before, the overarching principle really is the right of Americans to speak what they want to speak, to say what they want to say, and to believe what they want to believe. When the government has the power to force, and these are two artists, right, to handwrite, to imagine from scratch and then handwrite something that contradicts who they are, I mean, what end to that power? That nothing stops the government from forcing us to write, you know, I support President Obama or I support President Trump. It's really the same principle. And it's a principle that should be protected and has been protected for hundreds of years in this country. But that's changing. And that should be a dangerous thing to really all Americans, no matter their views about marriage, no matter their views, their particular views. When you give that government that type of power, you know, the people in government change, right?
Yeah.
And their views change. So even if you agree with those in power today, that could be a different story tomorrow.
Right. And, you know, we've seen a related push in, you know, the events after Parkland, most notably recently, for example, where you have a very concerted effort to silence all civil discourse on, again, a right that is enumerated and enshrined in the Second Amendment, you know, and not to get off on that, but, you know, there is this push to silence civil discourse and all discussion and to push in a certain direction, which to me sounds related. So we're actually coming to the end of the first hour. I don't know if you want to weigh in on that going into the second hour. You're welcome to. But that'll do it for the first hour.
Whatever you need for me. I mean, I just jump on and say, I think that's right in the sense of the other side is not a side tolerant, right?
Yeah. Hold that thought. We'll
excluding people.
Let's finish that on the other side of this break here. Second hour coming up, folks. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.